Hi, good day, and welcome to another part in our series Start, Grow, and Accelerate Your Own Business. Today, we're going to be talking about e-commerce and e-commerce specifically for SMEs in the retail space. I'm Catherine Young, the owner of Thinkroom Consulting. I'm sure you know me well by now. But more importantly, is our guest in the studio today, Cameron Burt. Welcome.
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here this morning.
Really, really excited to be talking about e-commerce and retail today. Cameron, tell us a little bit about yourself.
There was a question about my Twitter handle. I'll briefly cover that. A few years ago when I was setting up my Twitter account, my name had been taken, all the variations had been taken. So in desperation, I was reading a book by a famous South African author called Max Dupree, and he calls himself the Clever Native. So I tried that Clever Native, and that works. I've taken it. It's worked ever since. And that is my Twitter handle.
I wonder if Max is happy with that. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think he knows that. I'm not a huge Twitter account, so I'm not sure that he even knows what I do. Further, I'm the owner and founder of a small consulting company called Marketor Solutions. I do a lot of consulting into large organizations. I focus mainly on enterprise development. I focus a lot on small and medium enterprises. I do believe that a lot of the social ills of the African continent will be solved by the likes of small businesses in terms of creating employment.
Fantastic. And really today we're going to be talking, you have extensive experience in retail and in the e-commerce space. And really today we're looking forward to some of your insights for our small businesses, especially in e-commerce. So can you just give us a little bit about your retail experience?
So I have over 30 years of experience in the retail industry, of which the last 25 were in the clothing and footwear industry. I worked in a broad range of disciplines and functions within retailing, and I helped set up some of our e-commerce sites in South Africa as well, and manage those sites. And really, e-tailing is just an extension of retailing, and that I'm going to try and bring that sense of common sense and logic into the discussion this morning.
Fantastic. So we're going to be learning about e-commerce, and as you know by now, I'm always learning more in these sessions, I think, than some of the viewers that view the episodes afterwards. But Cameron, can we start with e-commerce? I mean, what is it?
It's very simple. All that it is, it's the exchange of goods or services for money. It's been going on for millennia. The ancient Egyptians have done it, and it's the same thing now. All that's happened is that it's moved into the digital era, and with all the wonderful bells and whistles, we still talk about exchanging goods and services for money, as simple as that.
So really, I've got money, you've got something, I want it. Just how we get it has changed
exactly
a little bit.
Exactly that.
Right.
And it entails quite simply people that have to produce the goods that get sold, people that buy them, and people that sell them. So those are the types of players that we have in the e-commerce industry, environment, or ecosystem. In Africa, very interesting, is still very much in its infancy stages, and that's largely due to bandwidth or lack of bandwidth and lack of internet penetration, but we'll talk about those constraints later on.
Yeah.
And then there's quite simply just, you get various types of e-tailers. It could be a cyber mall, the likes of a Yahoo, or you get the individual websites, the likes of Amazon.com kind of thing.
Yes.
Just to put it into perspective, last year, 2014, the global retail sales in all forms were estimated to be over $1.4 trillion. I don't even want to try and convert that into any of the African currencies. It's just going to have so many zeros on the end that we won't be able to even explain what it is. Online retailing in the developed world is between 10 and 12% of total retail sales, whereas in Africa, it is not even 1% of total retail sales.
Wow.
So the opportunities are huge. So while we do have constraints, there are huge opportunities for us to grow this industry.
So for the SMEs out there listening to this today, really, it's very insightful. Only 1% in Africa so far has been taken by e-commerce, Cameron, as you've said, or because of the bandwidth constraints. So there's really an opportunity for SMEs to understand this, and especially those in retail. Let's talk about the advantages of e-commerce. Can you speak to us about that a little bit?
Okay, so just to harp back on that previous point, and I do believe that Africa is going to leapfrog the Western world, the developed world, much the same as we did when we took on cellular technology.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do the same thing with e-commerce. So the advantages are enormous. First of all, you don't have to build a building. You don't have to have a physical building, which is usually expensive. You can literally do it out of your garage.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos did it. He's built a multi-billion dollar a business called Amazon.com. And he's done that out of his garage.
Yeah.
The nice thing about e-commerce as well, you can set up a niche business. I'll talk about it in a later slide, but you really can set up a niche of a niche of a niche business, and you can really focus on something pretty small and pretty tight in your specialized area. So the other advantage of having an online business is that because you don't have all the physical constraints of having to have a storefront, having to pay really expensive rentals, because normally you have to be in a mall, you have to pay things like staff salaries and air conditioning, etc. You can do that
parking,
all out of your garage. So your prices theoretically should be lower, because you have lower overheads that you can pass on to your customers.
Right.
So theoretically you can beat the big retailers out there by going online.
Yeah.
It's also
on that point, that's interesting. So do you get the sense that that online retailers understand that as a pricing model?
Absolutely. A lot of retailers have just got an extension of their retail arm of their normal physical stores, and they've gone into a website, so they can sell the product that you would find in a store, you find on the website. But the pure play website e-tailers, the likes of the Amazon, their books are far cheaper than the books that you're going to find in a bookstore.
Yeah.
And that is why a lot of bookstores are going out of business, and a lot of music stores have gone out of business, because you can download it at a far cheaper price. And,
so again, for us as SMEs, that's a very interesting point. Although very often we say to SMEs, don't differentiate only on price, but in this particular instance, you're absolutely right. The infrastructure costs are lower. You don't have all the extra additional overheads that you usually have. So you could price cheaper, and that could be a differentiator.
Absolutely. And that should be the starting point of the entrepreneur starting out in this space, to go out and compete on price against the bigger retailers. Another fantastic advantage of going the e-commerce route is the saving the planet. You know, it's a lot more carbon effective to order things online than to get into your car or get onto a public transport, commute to a mall or to a store and purchase from there, then get into your car and go all the way back home again. So you can either, even if you get various kinds of products, we'll be covering that in a later module, but digital products you can download online, but even if you're ordering physical products, it's more carbon effective for a retailer to deliver to 20 different homes than it is for 20 homes to go to one store and go back again. So it is far more carbon effective to use e-tailing.
Very interesting. And another trend I'm picking up in South Africa specifically, I don't know if you've got examples of the rest of Africa, but what I'm picking up is that some of the SMEs that we're working with also take advantage of existing infrastructure in place when they do online retailing. So they would actually hook up with an example of an Uber driver to go and do deliveries, like you say, one trip en route. There's a small retailer, e-commerce retailer that we're working with currently, one of the SMEs, and they deliver groceries to your home. However, they've taken the Uber infrastructure as a way of doing that. So basically that ties in with what you're saying. If there's one car, who is going that way, use that car rather than
destroying
the planet.
So here we are moving into the realm of the shared economy, collaborative consumption. So the Uberization of the planet is coming.
Yes.
And we better get used to that idea that the shared economy is going to take over the way that we do things. And in 10 years' time or 20 years' time, I'm not sure of the timelines, but it's going to happen fairly rapidly. Things like taxi drivers are not going to exist. Cars with drivers are not going to exist. You're not going to have to own a car. That is something in a totally different, for a totally different discussion, but fascinating in its own right. And again, I think that Africa can really do a lot to leapfrog the current technologies that are out in the developed world.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
That is fantastic. So, I mean, that is almost encouraging. Can you imagine a driverless car collecting you from your home and you're getting off and on where you need to be, and all part of the shared economy? For SMEs specifically, I think that is a huge opportunity. And for SMEs in Africa, even so, let's just skip two or three of the stages and just get going. Cameron, fascinating. I know you've got some statistics that you want to share with us. Just talk to us a little bit.
Okay, so the numbers in this environment are staggering. I mean, I don't think anybody knows how many web pages there are. The numbers around YouTube are just enormous. The numbers around Facebook are just enormous. But we spoke about internet penetration earlier on, and that is a key factor in setting up your e-commerce business. But in 15 short years, you know, 15 years is not a long time. In developed countries, there were 300 million users on the internet. In 2015, this year, there's 1 billion users. In developing countries, in the year 2000, there were 100 million users, and we've overtaken them. We are now 2.2 billion.
Wow.
So you can see obviously the population numbers, sheer numbers in the developing countries are a lot higher, and we are catching up and have overtaken in terms of sheer numbers of users. You can see the percentage of households with internet access over there. Obviously, at this stage, the developed countries are far higher than Africa. Africa is going to catch up pretty quickly. LDCs over there is a reference to least developed countries, and obviously they're much lower. But you can see where we're going in terms of internet penetration. I do believe, and it's common knowledge, that this is going to happen in Africa largely through the mobile technology,
yes.
Either the cell phones or tablets, etc. And we can see that in 2011, just 4 years, you know, between 2011 and 2015, 3G coverage was pretty small, and already we right up to 60%, over 60%
wow.
of 3G coverage. And that you need that kind of bandwidth to ensure that you have good
yeah.
connectivity with the internet.
Yeah.
Some other interesting stats. At the moment, we've got globally 97% penetration of cell phones with the global population. Obviously, there's duplication, in the year 2000, we had 700 million people had cell phones. We now got over 7 billion people have got cell phones on the planet. And 3G is growing faster in rural areas than it's actually growing in urban areas.
That is
so
absolutely
fascinating stat.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So I heard another stat yesterday where somebody said that the total hours of footage on YouTube, on the internet, is more than what mankind has existed.
That is correct. And that stat is probably already out of date, even though you only heard it yesterday. YouTube is just growing at such a great rate of knots that you can never ever view everything on the internet. It's just so big. There's just so much information.
Fantastic. Again, SMEs, if that does not encourage you, if we look at these stats that Cameron has just taken us through, Africa, yes, although we are lower than the rest of the world in terms of households with internet access, the number of devices in hand, 7 billion almost for 7 billion population, 97% penetration. There's a huge opportunity for SMEs in Africa to really get with it and develop their businesses. So let's talk about technological advances.
So that has allowed e-tailers in across the world to be able to sell products that you were never able to sell across the internet because you needed the bandwidth to be able
yeah.
to do that. So things like music downloads, video downloads. You know, in the old dial-up days, it would have taken you 3 years to download a movie. It's now in the developed countries, it's something like 3 minutes, and
yeah.
you've got a couple of gigabytes of movie that has been downloaded. Online gaming is also a massive industry across the globe, not something that we really want to promote, but it's a massive industry, and that's something that we can that can only be done with advanced technologies. So some of the major e-tailers in Africa, you can see those, Jumia, Takealot, they took over Kalahari in South Africa. They got a $100 million boost from the shareholders. Groupon, Zando, Bid or Buy, there's major retailers that have just extended their bricks and mortar presence into clicks and mortar, so they've got an online presence, and they treat their stores, their online stores, basically as an extension of their physical
yeah.
stores. And then, of course, Gumtree is the most visited website in South Africa. I'll just put
yeah.
that in there as well, which
wow.
is basically online getting to know you.
Yeah. So for those in the rest of Africa and in the world that's watching, the Gumtree really is an online website or online e-commerce site where you literally can buy and sell anything that you possibly can think of. So Cameron, if I look at this, if we look at what we've just discussed and all the big retailers are going this way, they have online stores. If we draw that to SMEs, are there any categories that you could think of that SMEs could think about entering from a retail perspective where they could have an advantage?
So in Africa particularly, we have great crafters.
Yes.
Okay. Our craft market is probably one of the best in the world. And I think you know, the factory of the world is China and the Far East. They don't have access to that. Our craftspeople can produce products like that. In the past, they would have had to sit on the roadside at a roadside store somewhere and wait for tourists to come past their stall and purchase their products, or they would have to ship it to a store, maybe in an airport store in a mall in the airport or duty free or something along those lines. And there's huge costs that are attached to that.
Yeah.
With the advent of e-commerce, they can take those products, they can sit wherever they are in a rural area, anywhere in the continent, and they can, as long as they've got access to the internet and they've got a delivery fulfillment process, they can then sell their product to anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So that gives them access to a global market, whereas in the past they would have only had access to a very small tourist market
That is absolutely fascinating and encouraging. There is a website for those who are watching at the moment. Go have a view of the website. It's called Lionesses of Africa. This has a particular focus on female artisans in Africa and preparing craft and craft goods, and it is they really provide great access for people in rural areas who are developing craft, making things, African art, and want to get it out to the rest of the world. They provide very interesting ways of doing that online. So some of the barriers, because as wonderful as it sounds, I'm sure there's some barriers. Let's talk about that.
So there's certainly barriers to entry. And we've touched on a couple of them up until now. Delivery costs are certainly something. So yes, you may be sitting in a village in Uganda and you produce wonderful craft, but you've got to get it to a client sitting somewhere maybe in Europe or in America.
Yeah.
So there are delivery costs that are involved. So courier costs are expensive. So you've got to figure that into your pricing for a start,
yes,
or you pass that pricing on to the client. It was so funny, I ordered a hardcover book the other day from Amazon.com from the used book section. It cost 78 US cents, but it cost me 350 Rand to get to South Africa.
About $30.
So delivery costs are certainly a barrier, and you've got to consider that and factor that into your costing model. There's also the impression, especially with a lot of not only e-tailers themselves, but also with customers, that only people with credit cards are able to buy
online. Yes.
That is not the case at all. There's now things like debit cards. There are other payment systems that can be used. Bitcoin is coming on strong, and that's going to facilitate those sort of payments.
M-Pesa in Kenya.
It's going to, as I mentioned earlier on, I think Africa is going to leapfrog a lot of these technologies, and we're going to be able to empower people to do things that they haven't been able to do. And technology is going to do that for us.
Yes.
There's also, of course, we've all had that nervous feeling entering our credit card details into a website and wondering where it's going to end up. So security of your online banking details is always going to be a concern. So you have to create an element of trust on your website. And there are websites and there are like Thought, etc., that you can put their logos on your site to say that it is an encrypted site, it is a safe site that you can do a business on. Also from the client's point of view, the customers know what they're getting. So if you're ordering a Coca-Cola, everybody knows what a can of Coca-Cola is about. But it's a very different story if you're ordering maybe a dress that has been created by a craftsperson sitting in Kenya or wherever. In terms of the touch and feel of the fabric, how thick it is, etc., the size and the fit. So the customers, you have to figure out ways to mitigate for customers having to know what they're getting when they do buy online. And there are ways of doing that. There's technologies coming pretty quickly that are, you're able to, augmented reality, so that customers can see what they look like in their dress. They can see exactly.
So virtual fitting room.
Exactly. And awesome. That's going to be available to the village craftsperson sitting somewhere in Africa, which is absolutely amazing. There's also customers all over the world are used to shopping from big brand retailers, the Marks and Spencers of the world, the Targets of the world, the Walmarts of the world, etc., the online retailers, the likes of Amazon, etc. And to buy from somebody that's totally unknown, has got no brand, they just found this person because they had very good marketing. Yeah. And so there's that potential barrier that they've got to overcome. And that can also be done by creating an element of trust and building a trust and credibility element on your particular website. And then, of course, the biggest barrier for now, but I do believe that is going to be overcome pretty soon, is the low level of internet penetration.
But encouraging, very encouraging. Those barriers all somehow seem, we seem able to overcome. There are other very successful e-tailers who started, as Cameron says, Amazon started in the garage of that company's founder.
Jeff Bezos.
I forgot the name, but thank you very much. So very interesting. I know that there's this quote from Yuppie Chef that we have on the slide, and I actually want to just take the moment to read it. People aren't shopping online in South Africa. You can put any country's name in there, really. In South Africa, mostly because there isn't anywhere to shop. If a number of interesting businesses started getting serious about their online channels and put real thought and budget into these plans, it would revolutionize e-commerce for that country. And that was from the founder of Yuppie Chef, which is a very successful e-commerce site in South Africa. Tell me about it. I can tell you all about it. For those who've listened to previous episodes or modules in this series, you'll know that my husband is a very avid chef, and Yuppie Chef has cost us a lot of money in the past, to say the least. But Cameron, so in closing then, I think we've got a very good overview of e-commerce for SMEs and the opportunities. Have you got some closing thoughts on this?
Just to get back to Yuppie Chef, just as a matter of interest, the founder there, Paul Galatis, he started off the website and he worked, carried on with his day job for 7 years before it became a profitable business.
Wow.
So that he could resign from his business, from his work, and could go into this full time.
Wow.
He said it was quite a weird feeling. The staff weren't used to having him on site. He was only there in the evenings, and they actually felt that he was getting in the way when he was there full time. But his point is very valid. If you haven't been to Yuppie Chef yet, I'm not a chef in the least, but even I'm very interested in buying stuff from Yuppie Chef. It's such an appealing product. It is a unique product. It is a well-priced product, and it has been presented in such an appealing manner that anybody that goes onto the site really wants to buy it. So in closing, if you have the right product, at the right price, in the right time, you have a viable business. And that is what e-commerce is all about.
Jeez, that is so encouraging. For those of you who are sitting there watching and thinking, when could I ever leave my day job to really pursue my business? That is just the most encouraging words Cameron's told us. I didn't know that story, actually. So just some other resources that you can go and go look at to learn more about e-commerce. Understanding e-commerce, go and look at the howstuffworks.com site. Some very interesting stuff on there. And then there's some 16 e-commerce solutions for small businesses. Go follow that link that you see on the screen. It could be very interesting. And then if you need to understand e-commerce a little bit more, go to Simply Biz. In fact, simplybiz.co.za has a lot of real good insights if you need to understand how to set up your business as an SME or grow your business. Thank you, Cameron. It's been delightful. Until the next episode.
Pleasure.
Make sure that you catch the other three episodes in the e-commerce section that we will be showcasing. This was the introduction. Make sure you also see the others in the various stages of your business. Start, grow, accelerate your business. Until next time, thank you.